You know, having faith is something many people struggle with. Sometimes you're all in, other times something will happen and you'll think, why did God let that happen? And I always think of a sermon I heard when I was a very young mom. A clock tower had fallen over in Italy during an earthquake. I believe it was Italy, and it crushed a bunch of people. And his name was Father Ed Wehner, and when he was asked the question, why did those people have to be crushed? And Father Ed said, because a clock tower fell on them and had nothing to do with God. And it just is what it is, and you have to have your faith in the way that fits your life. Rick Preible is author of a new book, Sharing the Universal Truth, that links all believers to God. It's called Imagine God, and I welcome Rick now to the Live Line. Hi, Rick.
Hi, Fawn. How are you? Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. I'm fine. Thank you for asking. You know, when I read your book, each chapter, if you will, or each segment of the book is like 2 pages long. So if you wanted to use it as like a daily motivational, you could almost do that, couldn't you?
Yeah, if you could use it as devotional, absolutely. But on the other hand, you also could read the entire book within an hour, and it was designed that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's powerful message. I wanted it to be very simple to receive, that a child or an intellect both could understand this in a very simple, easy-to-understand way.
Oftentimes, you know, when we sit in church and we hear sermons or whatever the case may be, or if they're reading Gospels or the Holy Readings, I sit and I think, that's a parable that could be, I guess, defined or interpreted so many different ways, and I always like when the pastor or the priest explains to me how he came to what he says in his sermon. And you kind of do that with talking about an experience, and then you go to something from the Bible, a verse or a chapter.
I'm glad you picked up on that.
I did.
That, in fact, is what makes this message so unique. I made the connection between our emotions and God's Spirit, and it's an important understanding. Let me just give an example. When people disregard us, for example, we feel disrespected or used. We feel feelings of hurt, don't we?
Of course.
On the other hand, when we're appreciated, we feel valued, we feel loved. We have feelings of pleasure, all of us. Would you agree with that?
Of course.
So why is that? Is that just a coincidence? You know, or is that by God's design? And what I determine is, that is what it means to be made in the image of God. And when I go through 21 different examples such as these in the book, I then support each example with Scripture. And here's the thing. God is the same way. God wants to be valued and praised, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
God doesn't want us to violate the Ten Commandments. And these are things on how we're able to relate to and actually develop a personal relationship with God. Imagine God, you know, by me, Rick Preible, is the book, and you, as you introduced the show, Fawn, I thought it was very important what you said about the fact that tragedy does occur, and now we're dealing with very unusual time. Now coronavirus is in play, and that causes us to take ourselves away from the hustle and bustle and the everyday responsibilities we all have to face and deal with. It forces us to then look upward, perhaps, and hopefully, because we need to find a place to put our security that we realize where we have put it, it isn't working. I believe God is trying to draw us closer to him. I believe I have a message that will help people to see where God exists today in our everyday lives and in a way that we're actually designed to have an intimate relationship with him. A lot of us are struggling to figure out where to channel our unwanted feelings of feeling violated and betrayed or feelings of loss. And I'm suggesting that it's really God's allowing us to live in his shoes, so to speak, in a way so we can actually understand and get to know him better if we're fortunate to see it that way.
Yeah, yeah. Where's the book available, Rick?
The book's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Goodreads, iTunes. You can find it on my website. There's a link to go to it, which the website is imaginegodbooks.com. Now, it's not the only book called Imagine God, so it's Imagine God by Rick Preible. And, Fawn, I do want to share with you some good news. I had learned just Saturday that my book was awarded the winner for the Book Excellence Award from hundreds of from hundreds of books and contestants from around the world. So I'm pleased to announce that.
Congratulations to you. I was listening to what you said, and that's a hard thing to do because there are a lot of religious books out there. So congrats to you. And you know, we're all sinners, by the way. And a sin is a sin is a sin. God doesn't have a ranking of sins. I mean, taking life is probably the worst. But I'm just saying, one sin does not make you less of a sinner than someone else who sins. If you're a sinner, you're a sinner. But you are right. God loves worship. And if he didn't, he wouldn't have had his only son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, teach us the Our Father and ask us to repeat it. Because by definition, if you listen to the words of that prayer, which we are all told to pray every day, he's telling you, you know, this is what I want to hear.
Absolutely. I mean, we are all sinners. That is to say, we are born here on earth, separated from God. And that's what makes this so challenging, because it's up to us to have to search out God, really kind of die into ourselves to accept the fact that our sins are paid for through what Jesus did, regardless of what it is that we have done wrong, to continue to separate ourselves from God. But I don't want people to worry about it. If you don't get it right the first time, God did something interesting. He gave us memory. So we get to relive these unwanted feelings of our separation from God, the things that we've done wrong, and the things that other people have done to wrong us. That's why it's so important for us to forgive others. But the big takeaway here is that God wants to have a relationship with us, and we can forgive ourselves for what Jesus did for us on the cross.
Amen to that. Now, Rick, you knew I was going to go here, but you were raised Jewish, weren't you?
I was.
How did the switch happen?
In Israel.
Well, good for you. I love Israel.
We all put our securities in certain places. For some of us, for me, it was about making money. And for others, it may be their athleticism. And for still others, it could be their appearance. It's many things for different people. For me, it was making money. And when there was a time that I lost my money in a real estate venture, I felt powerless. I felt lost. My self-worth was gone. And that's when I discovered for the first time that my real pain was really nothing more than a separation from God. And I could only determine one way to break that separation. And it was simply by accepting that Jesus is the Messiah and paid for my sins. So instead of feeling guilt, shame, and regret, people, believe, be grateful, and become renewed. And it is that simple.
You know, I have a son who recently found God, or so he says, and I'm praying. If so, my prayers are answered, Rick. But for a long time, he disregarded God, and his life just went to hell in a handbasket, to coin a phrase. But it just went south rapidly, and he hit rock bottom and is serving jail time up in North Dakota. And he seems to have come back around. And even though he's in a place where I'm not proud of that, I couldn't be more proud of him for getting back to his faith.
It's interesting you say that. In a really kind of unusual way, it could be very fortunate that he's there. And
yeah,
I say that because of this reason. He doesn't have the things that take us away from God, such as material comforts. He's there by himself in a small room and dealing with fear. The thing about that, Fawn, is God's truth is the same in prison as it is in the outside world. So he has a much better chance, perhaps, of finding God and making it real in his life and becoming renewed in that way. And again, it's not really so much about this earth, because the very best it can be is for us to die of old age with loved ones around us. That's the best it's going to be. So it's important to, eventually we will have to accept the fact that we're all terminal, our lives here are temporary. So finding God in whichever way we can do it is so important. And I've tried to make that as simple as possible through my book, Imagine God. I hope people give it a chance. I think it will be a help. And
I think it will be. I think it will be. And I had you on the show today, not just because of a personal interest. And I am going to buy one of your books after I give one away to a listener, because I want to make sure that one of my listeners has an opportunity to win a copy of the book, too, as promised when I did book you. But the media people did send me a bunch of questions for you, Rick, but I found my own questions to be far more pressing. So I hope you don't mind that I've completely disregarded them.
Absolutely. I'm an open book. Okay. And I can only share with you what my thoughts are, and I'll be honest with you.
I appreciate that.
Feel free to ask me anything.
I just find you interesting in the fact that you wrote the book the way that you did, because I know you converted from Judaism, correct? And your wife has a Hindu background, so you're just like the UN at your house.
Yes, but I want to make one correction. I don't see it as a conversion. Mm-hmm. I see my leap of faith as a completion.
Okay.
Because you look at in the Old Testament, in Isaiah 53, I see that clearly. Jesus was prophesied. His coming was a prophecy, and I just believe it's come to reality. Unfortunately, and there were many Jewish people in the times of Jesus that understood and believed Jesus. So, if you want to say Messianic Jew, that would probably be an accurate term, a Jew for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But there's just one thing. It's just what's real. You know, and I want to make one other point, if you don't mind, Fawn.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of evangelists that would say, well, look, what Rick's saying about emotions, you have to be skeptical because the Bible's what's real and what you can only rely on. I want you to know I also believe in the Bible. I believe it's inspired by God, and I believe it's true. What I'm suggesting is we do both, because it's through our emotions that we're able to identify with God. That's how we're able to have an intimate relationship with Him. But the Bible confirms that our feelings are consistent with what it is that God's feelings are, and you understand what it means to be made in his image. Now, Abraham, right, he was considered the patriarch of all religion, Judaism, certainly Christianity, Islam, and others. Now, God had favor with Abraham. He considered him a friend. The question is this, how did Abraham figure it out? There wasn't a Bible at that time. There was no organized church. This is my take on that. Blessed is the man with a pure heart, for he shall see God. And the reason one can see him is because he's within each of us, because we're made in his image. I believe Abraham figured that out. And I believe that my book offers somewhat of a lens to share that vision and to give clarity to what otherwise, you know, it's a difficult thing to understand, as you mentioned earlier in our conversation, that you enjoy when preachers can explain Scripture and the parables to make it simple to understand. There's nothing more simple than to understand it through your own self-identifying with it.
Yeah.
And that's what I believe and I hope that I accomplished through my book.
Okay, I have 30 seconds left. Why the picture on the cover? I guess it has significance to you, right?
I took that photograph.
It's beautiful.
And I took that photograph the morning after reading the second chapter of Luke, where Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, had a prophecy of the coming of the Messiah. And out of nowhere, at the end of that prophecy, it says, by which the rising sun will come to us in darkness to create a path before our feet. And if you look at it, it does, in fact, kind of look like that. I took that picture on my cell phone when I opened the drapes, having woken up earlier than normal. I happen to be in a hotel on the beach in Melbourne Beach, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also some other interesting things about that photograph.
But I'm out of time, Rick. I'm so sorry. Okay. I had 30 seconds. I'm sorry. The book is available everywhere, right?
It is, and people can see that photograph on my website, ImagineGodBooks.com, and they can click order book, and that's where they can see the cover, and it's full order, and there's a little discussion in the book. Thank you, Fawn, for having me.
You're very welcome. Bye-bye now. Rick Preibel, Pribell, Imagine God.